Good morning and welcome to New Life Church. So glad to be with you, at least in spirit. Hopefully we'll be together real soon. And a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. May the Lord bless you today. We're in Psalm 124 this morning, and we're talking about the road of life that we're on, walking with God. And, you know, there are hazards on the road. I was reading this week and Proverbs 11, it says in verse 18, "The wicked person earns an empty wage, but the one who sows righteousness a true reward." And I was thinking, you know, if you're paid to walk on this road with God, I think sometimes we need hazard pay, because it's not that easy. Psalm 124 is all about the hazards we run into as we walk on this road with God. Let's read it together. A song of ascents of David. "If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the water would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept over us. Blessed be the Lord who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's net. The net is torn, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." So I love how this psalm begins. It begins with, "The Lord is on our side," and it ends with, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." Those are great bookends for any Christian's life. God is for us. God is our help. Now, I realize, though, that to some that would read that, those raise red flags. I can stand in the pulpit and confidently tell the congregation, God is for us. God is our help. But the moment I step off of that platform, I will be approached by a skeptic, and he'll say something like, "With all due respect, Pastor," don't you love it when somebody starts a sentence with that, "with all due respect," or "I'm asking for a friend. Pastor, when you say God is for us, God is our help, you need to check your pronouns. God may be for you, God may be your help, but how do you explain?" And then they'll go into a description and a case history of hurt or disappointment. And I feel like at that moment, I'm a defense counsel for the Lord. I've got to come to his defense. I've got to vindicate his goodness despite the presence of evil in the world around us. I feel like I've become a clerk in heaven's complaint department. Or worse, you know what would be a worse job than that? President Trump's press secretary. No, he didn't say what you think he said. No, the tweet didn't mean what you think it meant. But that's why I like this psalm. This psalm doesn't argue God's help. It doesn't explain God's help. It is a song and a testimony about how God helps, how he helped. So look at those first two verses again. "If the Lord had not been on our side," let Israel say, "if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us." So apparently it's a pretty catchy song. It begins with one guy singing and then all of Israel joining in the chorus about God's mercy. But the bookends that surround this psalm, "God is for us," "God is our help," those aren't pie in the sky theology. They don't discount the hazards that we face on the road. They simply remind us, as another psalm does, "You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head." God is in front of us. God is behind us. The psalm is Psalm 124 is taking us from the hazards we face to find God's help. So David gives us two examples of the hazards we face in life and two examples of how God had rescued and helped Israel. Verses 2 through 5, it says, "If the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the water would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging water would have swept over us." So the people were in danger of being swallowed alive and being drowned. The first is a picture of a dragon. And we all know they exist, especially if you're a kid. Dragons really are just, this is probably a water beast that he's describing here, but they're just projection of our fears. They're everything we're afraid of, their sharp teeth, their fiery breath, their long, powerful tail, their scaly skin. I mean, there's a reason in the book of Revelation that our enemy is pictured as a dragon. They are scary. We fear them. And David pictures Israel's enemies as a dragon that without God's help would have swallowed the nation alive, would have been torn them apart with their teeth. And the second illustration he uses here is that of a flood. And Israelites would have understood this, of course, living in a desert climate. Flash floods during the rainy season, flash floods could appear at any moment, endangering life and limb. And David says Israel's enemies were the same. Without God's help, they would have been suddenly engulfed by the enemies. So the song is not singing about the good life. This isn't a song about how God kept us from trouble. This is a song about going through the worst, the dragon's fire, the flood's torrent, going through the worst and then coming out on the other side alive. We're not abandoned. We're helped. But you know, you and I, as Americans, we are trained cynics. I think we're marketed from cradle to grave. And when our favorite actor shills for a product, we know that some copywriter in Madison Avenue wrote that testimonial. And we also know that the actor's getting paid handsomely to say good things. And so when David says, God is for us, God is our help, we're tempted to discount it. We're tempted to say, yeah, well, that's David. He's in the Bible. Except there's a ring of truth about this psalm. Because he doesn't leave out the dragons. He doesn't conveniently omit the floods. They are still there. And of course, you and I know David's life as well. His life was filled with pain. And so 124, this psalm, stands the test of time because of the truth it conveys. Life is hazardous, but God helps his children. Christian life isn't without hazards. Every day, you put your faith on the line. We live in a world that where everything can be explained. There's a scientific, logical explanation for everything. Everything can be quantified. Everything can be counted. But you choose to center your life on God, whom you've never seen. The Bible says no eye has seen, no ear has heard. You've never seen him, and still he directs your life. You put your faith in the promises of this thousands of year old book. Every day you put your faith on the line. Every day you put your hope on the line. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Heck, we don't even know what the next hour will bring. I mean, we're living in a world now where there's a new crisis every week. And yet, you persist in your belief that God is in control and that he is good. You put your hope on the line every day. Every day you put your love on the line. We live in a world that is very bad at loving. And yet you open yourself up to others and you open yourself up to hurt because you believe that you should love your neighbor as yourself. So this is pretty hazardous stuff. At any moment, you can be eaten alive. At any moment, you could drown. But the hazards of life aren't really the point of this psalm. The point of this psalm is that he takes us from the hazards to God's help. Look at verses 6 through 8. It says, blessed be the Lord who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's net. The net is torn and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So, okay, remember, now these are songs of ascent. So these were sung by pilgrims as they're going up to Jerusalem. And I can imagine this song being sung as they reach the city, as they come to the city gates. And they are rejoicing because they have survived a very difficult, dangerous journey. They're rejoicing that God has helped them along the way. And so having recounted the dangers in the past, it's important for the pilgrim, David shows us, to number one, recognize God's hand in our deliverance, and two, to thank him for that deliverance. God is the author of all deliverance, and we rob him of his due when we don't give him thanks. I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to describe our evening prayer before dinner as returning thanks. I always thought that was a strange colloquialism, returning thanks, but I think it's a great description. We're returning thanks for what he's done for us. Verse 8, I think, is intended to remind us of God's power, that he is almighty. David doesn't just tell us that our help comes from the Lord. He qualifies that and says, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's a reminder to us, I think, that no matter how fearful a dragon, it's no match for God. It's a reminder to us that floods aren't a problem for the Almighty God. In fact, Proverbs 21:1 says, the Lord controls rulers just as he determines the course of rivers. Dragons and floods are big deals to us, but they're not big deals to God. So why do we need help? Well, I think the psalm reminds us that we're not nearly as strong as we think. We're not nearly as clever as we think. The dragon's teeth will rip us to shreds unless we have God's help. We are like this in verse 7. We're like this silly little bird that wanders into the hunter's trap. Another psalm says, protect me from the trap they have set for me and from the snares of the evildoers. You see, sometimes we are not wise enough to see the trap that the enemy has laid for us. We are not clever enough to recognize the enemy's hand. We are not discerning enough to recognize the devil's schemes. See, right now, for instance, our nation is caught in a trap. It is a trap of division. It's a trap of hostility. It's a trap of either or. It's a trap of anger. It's a trap of unforgiveness. It's a cancel culture trap. And unfortunately, many of us in the church are like this silly little bird headed straight into that same net, headed into that same trap, when God instead has called us to lead others away. But here's the thing. God ripped open the net for David and for Israel, and God will rip open the net for his church as well. We need his help. We must turn to him for help. We've got dragons all around us, floods, traps. See, Psalm 124 doesn't shove humanity's troubles under the carpet, or stuff it into a closet. It's not a call for us to bury our heads in the sand. The dragon's mouth, the flood's torrent, the hunter's net, suffering, catastrophe, disaster, these are inescapable parts of life. And it's incumbent upon the Christian to call out for God's help. When those hazardous situations arise, we call out for help. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Mere Christianity, he said, you must ask for God's help. Even when you have done so, it may seem to you for a long time that no help or less help than you need is being given. Never mind. After each failure, ask forgiveness, pick yourself up, and try again. Very often what God first helps us toward is not the virtue itself, but just this power of always trying again. Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay the course. God will help us. Rather than ignoring these hazards, Psalm 124 digs into them. It puts them under a microscope. And what David finds in the midst of these hazards is God's presence. And when you look closely, when you look closely at and take time to examine the hazards you're going through in life, you will also discover that God is right there. He's right in the midst of all of our drama. He's on our side, and he will help. We may survive by the skin of our teeth, but we will survive. This isn't a song about Christians being born lucky. We speak words of praise in a hellish world. We sing songs of worship when things get messy. We live lives of joy in the midst of depression. Because God is the center of our world. He defines our lives, not our culture. And it's his help that we experience, not the hazards we face, but the help we experience that shapes the content of our character. Let's pray together. Father, we're in a difficult place in our nation right now. Dragons, torrential floods, traps of the enemy. And we recognize that we're not strong enough, we're not brave enough, we're not smart enough to get out of this mess. And so we call to you for help. Grateful that you are on our side and that you will help us when we call out. Give us courage this week when we put our faith on the line, we put our hope on the line, we put our love on the line. Protect us, I pray, and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Have a great day. Happy Father's Day.